This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What does it take to change the course of lung disease? It takes groundbreaking research in pursuit of new therapies. It takes the world's leading experts in complex pulmonary conditions focused on restoring patients' quality of life. It takes visionaries to improve treatment options for even the most advanced disease. To lead lung care forward across our region and the world, it takes Temple Health.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ladies, gentlemen, boys, girls, children of all ages, the fourth, the final, the best, crackers, everybody, the fourth, the final, the best, the money hour of the Rob Brown Show goes now. Welcome back. Great to have you, Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo. And every Thursday at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Did you say 9?
Yes, I did. I was trying to pretend like I didn't. Thank you for calling it out.
You're welcome.
We take a trip up the road to the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., or some small suburb of it. I'm not entirely sure. And we welcome in the executive producer of BetMGM Tonight, which you can hear on this and find Odyssey stations nationwide every weekday from 7 to 11 p.m. He is the EP of that show. He is a host on other shows. He's an NBA analyst, an NFL analyst, and just an all-around good guy. Hating ass Mario Heron from the BetMGM Network. What's up, fella?
Just getting ready for the madness, man. Just getting all ready for it. Getting excited. You know, called the brother yesterday. Convinced him that the heels can't do anything, but then also got convinced that the heels can make it far. That's just where you're at in March, where you just keep circling around in a loop, talking about the same team over and over again, convincing yourself that they can make it to the Final Four.
No, they absolutely cannot make it to the Final Four. Let's be real clear, all right? They absolutely cannot. I'll tell you what they can do. I went back and forth on this one. Let's just jump right in, Mario. UNC catches Ole Miss. Chris Beard and his running Rebels. I have talked about this on your show a number of times. This team is one of the most hard-nosed defensive teams in the NCAA March Madness tournament. I am a believer in what Coach K always said, which is, if you want to win this tournament, yeah, you got to go put 70 a game up on the board, but you better be able to slap the hardwood and play a little defense. However, on the flip side, I kind of look at UNC the way that Philly was going into the Super Bowl. If you spend a bunch of time telling a group of high-level athletes, you can't, you shouldn't be here, you don't deserve it, you're going to get the best that they've got to offer. So I'm picking North Carolina to upset Ole Miss in the 11-6 matchup in the first round. The problem you have is that you guys had 13 games against quad one teams, and you won one of them.
Yeah, some would say that's bad. Some would say that's not very good. But look at the record against quad two and quad three. It's pretty good.
It is pretty good if you make sure to point out that zero of those quad two and three teams are tournament teams. Long as you don't point that out, it sounds pretty good.
As long as you don't point that out, yes, absolutely. But the thing that my bracket, I actually have Ole Miss making it a little bit farther than probably a lot of people. Like, I have the Sweet 16. And it's because in March, the fault I always have is I always trust the coaching over everything. And I trust in Chris Beard over Hubert Davis 10 times out of 10.
Sure.
And I think Chris Beard is also coming into this tournament, by the way, a little bit of more fire than usual. It was pretty known and talked about that he really wanted that IU coaching job and that he really kind of made sure that the people that represented him let them know that he wants the job, and they didn't go for him and they didn't get him. I think he's going to come into this going, all right, you know what? I'm going to show everyone, hey, I'm still a top 10 coach in all of college basketball. I'm going to show you guys why not getting me for a blue blood job was a pretty big mistake. So that's the thing that worries me going into this matchup for UNC, and why I kind of have Ole Miss going a little bit farther is because I have a trusted coach, I think, with a little chip on his shoulder. He's going to come in and make some chaos.
Honestly, man, that is exactly the take I have. This matchup for me is a weird one because I don't think either one of these two basketball teams is like Final Four caliber. I think they're both good, and I think they both probably deserve maybe a little bit more credit than they're getting. North Carolina sneaking in as team 68 out of 68. Yeah, there's controversy because Bubba Cunningham headed the committee. There's controversies there for sure. I look at Ole Miss and I go, really good defensive team, not super stellar offensively. It's good enough to win a game or two. I hate to do this, and I've said this on this show, I've said it on your show, I do not like to bet intangibles, right? I don't like, well, this team's feeling really confident, or this team's got the money. I don't like to bet that. Show me the numbers and let's put them down on paper. I'm a nerd. What do you want? I want empirical evidence. This is the one game in the opening round that I'm like, this is a vibes game. It's Chris Beard out there to show, yeah, I had some off-court troubles. He did. Pretty bad ones, too, that are the reason he got passed up on for higher caliber jobs. And then I got a North Carolina team that's got a guy like RJ Davis who's been told by the time they tip off tomorrow night five times, you suck, you shouldn't be here, out to prove that, yeah, I mean, we didn't have the year we wanted, but we don't suck and we should be here. This is a vibes game to me, and I got to tell you, I got until 12:14, and I might click the button 15 times between here and there to change the result on this game.
So it's interesting you kind of brought up the vibes thing, because that's why I changed a pick that I had yesterday based off news that came in. So like yesterday we had it announced that Will Wade's going to NC State after this season once they lose in the NCAA tournament. As soon as I kind of heard that, I was talking to our buddy Ryan Horvath about it, and I go, that actually makes me less confident in this McNeese team and their matchup against Clemson. So look at Will Wade, who, let's just say, not the best guy outside of coaching, some would say. And what is his inspiration? Like, is he really that locked in right now? Like, he's getting the NC State job that he so ever wanted and kind of back in a Power 5 conference that he always wanted to be in, and he's, making his way back up. Okay, so he has that. Is there a distraction there? Is there something that, you're more focused on this than that? And you face a Clemson team that still is pretty talented. That's an ACC team, and your team, has to have a pretty damn good day in order to pull off this upset. Stuff like that, Rob, I think is actually pretty key in the NCAA tournament. I think travel's a key. I think three-point shooting's a key. Like, stuff like that you got to factor in because, again, these are kids. Like, these are college kids. One of my friends always said, one of my favorite quotes is, we're betting on a sport where one bad math test could really affect it. So it's just something that, keep in mind because it does factor and does play a role in how this tournament kind of shakes up.
Let's talk about that Clemson-Will Wade-McNeese State matchup because Zoe and I are on opposite sides of the spectrum on this. All right. And we were going to reveal it in the last segment, but I'll do it now. I'm actually taking McNeese State for the upset over Clemson, a team that I cover, a team that I am next door to. And I'm taking it for a couple of reasons. Number one, McNeese State and Clemson both play a very similar style of basketball. They both want to be suffocating on the defensive end. They are going to be nothing flashy, nothing spectacular on the offensive end. In Shefflin, Victor Lekin for Clemson, they're like Jokic. It's not exciting, but it's effective. McNeese State's quite the opposite, quite the same. Suffocating defense, nothing that's going to blow you away. They're only going to have at most like maybe one clip in the one shining moment montage when it's all said and done, no matter how deep they go in this tournament, either one of them. But when you add those two things together and it becomes a game of which team plays their game better, and that team's probably going to win, a much closer matchup than I think a 5-12 indicates here, I look at Will Wade, who has accepted the NC State job. He's got a foot out the door. What an exclamation point on his time at McNeese State, whether he goes on past the round of 32 or not, to cap it off with a win over his alma mater. He was a Clemson guy, graduated 05, got his coaching career started there. This is a game that would be a landmark win for him. And the boys, even if they are bummed that he's leaving head to NC State, from what I've read and understand, everybody that's played for Will Wade at McNeese loves Will Wade and will go to war for this cat. This is another vibes game for me. I think Clemson's a better basketball team. I just think McNeese State has got a lot to play for here on the way out the door. I'm taking the Cowboys as one of two 5-12 upsets.
And see, Mario, he's leaving out the point that we fought earlier, because Will Wade will he'll put off practice. He'll do things whenever Clemson's playing football. He'll do a Clemson is more important to him than McNeese State. His loyalty to his old school, and that's ridiculous. And I had them upsetting Clemson, and I changed it as soon as I heard that story, because he won't put his foot on the throat if they're winning. He'll make poor decisions because that's his alma mater, and he's on his way out the door anyway. And I'm not sure the guy should be coaching basketball.
I just get worried about, like, I do get the it's his alma mater, and there is a little more where, like, passion, like, oh, I got to beat him. Even if you're a fan of him, like, I just got to beat him to kind of show a statement. And let's be honest, that job position comes up, and he's at NC State, and he has two good years or one good year. That guy's going to full court press for that job. You know, like, that's what he's going to want to end up going to. I still just hesitate. I still think Clemson actually pulls this off. I do think there is a 5-12 upset in there. I know betting-wise they're a favorite, but, like, I think Colorado State's going to knock off Memphis. Colorado State's one of the hottest teams going into this tournament. Yeah, so I think that's an obvious 5-12. That's an upset. A lot of people like UC San Diego over Michigan. Like, that's another really, really popular one that's gotten some heat because they're such a good three-point shooting team. But so is Liberty, so watch for that one on over Oregon, but that's a Big Ten team. And I, you know, try not to fade too many Big Tens. I still think Clemson gets it done, though. I think Will Wade, I could also see in terms of where he's going to lock in and maybe put his foot on the throat, but also maybe show his cards too much and overplay something and just kind of not think the game through as well. And that's where Clemson's able to kind of jump on them and win that game. So I'll still take Clemson in that. But I have a, this might be stupid, guys, but in my bracket, I do have a 15 taken down to 2.
A 15? Okay, hang on. Don't tell me which one it is. Don't tell me which one it is. I am going to stab in the dark here that you are taking, Wofford over Tennessee in the annual Rick Barnes collapse-a-thon.
No, I'm a Rick Barnes stan, actually. I love Rick Barnes. I have Bryant over Michigan State.
What? Shut up. With everything Tom Izzo's doing, Tom Izzo is fighting for coach of the year right now.
That's half of my championship game, mister. That's not going to happen.
Bryant, all their starters are 6'6 and above. That is a nightmare to go up against in the first round.
Buddy, I'm
defensively, they're...
I'm 6'3 and I still suck like that. You got to be able to ball.
No, well, they can ball. They made it to a tournament and they're an amazing defensive team. They attack the boards like no other. At Michigan State, their problem is they don't really have a FU score. It's kind of by committee. So if you have that against a team that has crazy good length, that's strong defensively, that's a first round matchup that maybe you're not completely ready for. And, you know, maybe start that game, you get a little shocked by the size, the speed, and the strength of them. And you realize, oh my God, this team's not really scared of us. Bryant's been to the dance before. It's not like a shock to them. I think that's a possible upset. For the 2 seed, I think Bryant's there. If I was any Power 5 coach, if I was any blue blood, the last thing I'd want to do is face a smaller school and see that size. Because when you face smaller schools, you lean on your size. What was St. Peter's? When they had not one guy over 6'7", what do? You go inside. That's how UNC beat them. They go, Manic, Baycott, you are literally going to touch the ball 2,000 times today because you're the biggest guys on the floor. That's how Texas A&M beat UNC back in 2000. I think it was 21. Is they just had 2 7-footers and they just attacked. They had Robert Williams was on that team, and God, I hated that guy for the full 2 hours. That's how you win games. So the size, man. Let me tell you something. Size matters, and that's sad for me too.
I'm gonna buddy you one more time here, buddy.
Okay.
This team gave up a buck 12. Granted, it's a tournament team. They gave up a buck 12 to GCU. They gave up 99 to St. John's, and they lost to the greatest university name, the Brown Bears. I can't ride with you here, man. I'll tell you what. If Bryant knocks off Michigan State, you can just come in and host an hour of the show next week.
All right, I'm going to hold you to that. I'll call you.
Bet.
We'll have fun.
We'll have fun.
All right. This has been the SEC's year in basketball. I have been on your show dating back to like November of last year, pointing out, I think Jahni Broome, even though he had a letdown in the last 5 games of the year, I think Jahni Broome was overall the best basketball player in college basketball. I think the SEC has had the single best year in any one sport that any conference has ever had in any individual year. They got 14 teams in. Granted, Texas bumped in the play-in last night, but they were still in the tournament. So 13 if you want to knock it down, whatever. I've got 2 SEC teams in the Final Four. I got Florida in there, who has become the trendy hot pick. I've got Auburn in there, and I'll tell you, it was a lot for me to pick Auburn over Michigan State, but I think Auburn, by earning that number one overall, set themselves up in the bracket they wanted to be in for a Final Four shot. Ultimately, there's just not a lot of Bamas hanging around there that I think are a danger to them. Where do you put the best SEC teams in the country? Do you have 1, 2, 3, 4 in the Final Four? Is one of them a national champion? Where are you at?
3 in my Final Four, 1 in my championship, and 1 is my national champion. That is the Florida Gators. I love Florida. I will say the committee, thanks for like making life 10 times harder for them. They go through the hardest conference in basketball. They win it. And you go, to reward you guys, we're going to give you St. John's, Texas Tech, Maryland, and here's Bill Self, Dan Hurley, and Coach Cal all in your side of the bracket. Have fun. Like, I come on, man. Like, throw them a bone. At least give them something easy. That being said, I think they're the most battle-tested. I think they are the hottest team entering the tournament. I think if I had to kind of rank my picks for, like, champion, I'd put Auburn at number 2. And it was because of actually what Bruce Weber was talking to us on BetMGM tonight a couple days ago. And he was saying on his Illinois team, I think that was 05 when they got smoked by Carolina in the title game, because Carolina's, you know, GOAT number 1, we're the blue blood, baby. He was saying how they had a moment where they were like going undefeated in the Big Ten, and then like they finally lost. And it was almost like, he said at practice, he's like, guys, notice the media's not here. You know, it's just us. And he's like, there's almost a relaxation. I think Auburn, with the recent struggles that they've had to end the season, it's almost a relaxation, like, hey, we're getting this out. Like, there's no more of this, like, constant pressure of, is Auburn, like, this super team, this greatest team we've ever seen? Like, they're getting it out, and now they can go into this tournament going, hey, it's a fresh slate. We had some rest. Let's go show everyone why we have the most quad one wins in all of college basketball, and why we're the best. So I have them for, like, a 2 spot, and then maybe, like, 3. I'll put Duke there. I just worry with Duke. The ACC was very, very weak. And, you know, let's say you have to face, you know, I don't think they're going to make it that far. I have them this far in my bracket. But, like, you face in Arizona. Arizona's better than a lot of the ACC talent. Even like a BYU is going to be a tough get for them.
Hell, I think, like, Mississippi State's going to beat the hell out of him in a round. I mean, I think Duke wins, but Mississippi State's going to bang the Duke Blue Devils underneath the glass.
Exactly, exactly. Like, there's going to be some tough matchups for them. So, like, we'll see how it goes. I did something possibly a little bit stupid. It's because
you?
I don't trust
Stop
this
it.
One seed.
You?
Yeah, I know. I gave Rick Barnes his first Final Four because I don't trust Houston at all this year. Not even a little bit. So I trust Houston. I trust Tennessee in the Final Four.
I looked up and down where Tennessee's coming from. Listen, first off, Watch out for the Terriers, baby. The Wofford Terriers are hungry. All right.
Yeah.
The Terriers are hungry in round number one. They go out there and shock the Paladins of FU one time, Furman University in the SoCon title. They like to play physical up and down. Here's the thing. They get by them. They got UCLA waiting in round two. Mick Cronin is, to me, the best college basketball coach that literally no one is talking about right now. I could see UCLA bumping them. And then, who's waiting from the top half of the bracket? The ILL of one Bradley Evans are up there. Kentucky, who's got the better of them, are up there. And Clemson's waiting up there. So's Georgia, by the way. A Georgia-Tennessee Sweet 16 matchup injected in my veins, pal. I don't know that it's as clean cut as you're making it.
I agree, but I trust him defensively. I trust that he was so close last year. And I trust that I think Chaz can get a bucket for him when they need to. So I like all those things. I don't trust Kentucky because I don't know how healthy they are. UCLA, my worry is that they would play the same type of game with Tennessee. And if you play Tennessee's game, you're not going to win, right? You got to take it, like, you got to speed up the floor a little bit. You got to kind of get them in transition, because if you let them just walk it up the floor and you let that defense get set, good luck scoring. You know what I mean? Like, you got to change it up a little bit. I would say the thing that worries me a lot is Purdue, because of Braden Allen's one of the best guards in the country. And, like, again, veteran guy that's kind of been, you know, not shy for the moment. That would worry me a little bit. But I think they can get all the way through that. And then even if they get Houston, like the Elite Eight spot, Houston is 317th in free throws attempted in college basketball. They are outside the top 100 in free throw percentage. If it gets to a point where, let's say, Houston's up two, and then, oh, crap, we got a foul, you are so in that game. you know what I mean? Like, there's a chance that they'll miss a couple free throws. You get a chance to tie it, go into OT, or a chance to win the game. If a team is bad from the free throw line in March, they will not win. Tell that to Derrick Rose. Tell that to Coach Cal, Memphis Tigers. They'll tell you a whole story about that. Justin Timberlake roasted them at the ESPYs for it. So just watch out for that.
That's how I make my selections. It's who did Justin Timberlake roast at the ESPYs. Hating ass Mario Heron, EP, executive producer of BetMGM Tonight, which airs 7 to 11. Buddy, I wish you nothing but the best of luck working with Brad Evans this week.
Thank you. It's certainly going to be something. And we'll see. And also, everyone, make sure to tune in to tonight, because the great Rob Brown will be joining us at 8:20 p.m. Eastern to break down more college basketball. So it's going to be a lot of fun, live reactions and more. So come hop in.
Hell yeah.
Woo!
Mario Heron, we will talk to you next week. Big dog, thank you as always.
Thank you.
The legendary Hating Ass Mario. Next up, Fight Club, and we're going late in the segment. Deal with it. It's the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into the Fight Club, where I am not a heel. I am not a baby face. I'm a human being. I don't know about Rob, but I am all those things. You know what I am? And I'm going to profess this right now. And stop all your contrarian crap, okay? Anyone who says I'm a contrarian, you're wrong, okay? I just want you to know that. I've been a John Cena fan from the beginning. I didn't understand all you people booing him. I didn't understand all the Cena sucks stuff. You either want greatness or you don't. And I have never understood that. And I will give you a case in point. A few years ago, I work with a lot of younger people on the Upstate Pulse. We talk a lot of wrestling, or we used to at the time, had some wrestling fans on there with me at the time. Patrick Brown and I went out to get some food, our pregame meal before the show. We're coming back. Windows are down. It's the middle of summer, and John Cena's theme song comes on my Spotify because, as I said, been a Cena guy. I cranked that up. He tried to sink down into the seat of the smart car, which is impossible. You're in a smart car. You cannot get down to the floorboard. Patrick, a large guy, he could not do it. And I'm like, what's wrong with you? He's like, we don't like him. And it's like, who is we? Okay? So someone decided it's cool to not like the best, the guy who carried everything for a long period of time for the WWE. When it was failing, there was one consistent guy, and that was John Cena. The torch was passed to him. He took it, and he ran with it, and he carried it for a long period of time. And everything that he said in his promo was true, including the "you can't see me" joke. It wasn't funny then. It's not funny now. And I'm guessing there's probably a John Cena hater across from me. I know there's probably people watching, definitely, and listening that are John Cena haters. And you guys, you make no sense. You never made no sense to me. That, by far, is one of the best promos I've ever seen in my entire life. That's right up there with Dusty Rhodes, okay, without a doubt. Now, you could take your pipe bomb, which was written by writers, and say, oh, well, that guy tells it like it is. No, that guy, that punk, tells it like it was written for him to say. John Cena, no one builds a crowd up like him. No one can talk like him. And I'm glad he finally told all you guys what he really feels about you.
Whew, okay. Let's go with a lot of response here. Let's start with this one. Yeah, I absolutely was a John Cena hater. And I hated John Cena because...
Why are you changing your voice? Why are you changing your voice? Why don't you be real about why you hate John Cena?
When I talk like this, this is real. This is the real.
Wow. No wonder you go with your radio voice.
Wow. It was easy to hate John Cena. And it was easy to hate John Cena because...
If you're a follower, if you're a lemming.
It was easy to hate John Cena because when John Cena was in his prime, it was the time that I was stopping liking wrestling as somebody who, like, loved the characters and started liking wrestling from the adult perspective of, I know kayfabe and I know storytelling and I know movies. And I was looking at it from a more all-around perspective. And for a very long time, every John Cena match was the same match. Every one of them, he started off hot, he got put down, five moves of doom, you can't see me, Cena wins, LOL.
You've just that described was, almost every wrestling that, match, period.
That was, it was 20 years of the same match. Over and over. I didn't even mind the overacting from John Cena. It was just when Cena came out, it was a pee break because you knew what was going to happen every single damn time. Now, that does not diminish the accomplishments of John Cena. It does not diminish the fact that he was able to do that with such an entertaining twist that he was able to stay around to win 16 and probably soon to be 17 world championships. I still respect John Cena, but as a wrestling fan, for about 17 years, John Cena matches were boring because it's the same thing I've turned on the Young Bucks. It's the same set of spots every single damn match. With all of that being said, John Cena's promo was a masterclass. Because he's exactly right. I immediately snap back to a handful of years ago when Cena ripped his bicep and had to step away from surgery, and he came out and he gave this very heartfelt, I'm leaving the WWE. I've done what I can do. I've got everything done I can get done. It is what it is, and I got to go have the surgery, so I'm done. And the crowd cheered and chanted, na 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 na, hey, 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 goodbye at him. I was bored by and disliked John Cena because it was just repetitive. But that promo was a masterclass in how to work a crowd. I am more of a John Cena fan today than I have been in his entire career.
All right, so you also, you just proved another point for me, and I thank you for that because I expected you to do that. Suddenly, people are going to come out of the woodwork and like John Cena now, because there are a lot of people that only like heels. It's weird. Even though John Cena said he's not one, we all know he is now. There are people out there that the same Roman Reigns will never be this. Oh, well, he finally turned heel, so Vince McMahon was wrong, even though he was right. And he said he would be the star that he is, and he was absolutely right. There are some people out there that only like the bad guy.
This just goes down to you not liking Superman. It's the same thing. Time out. First off, yes. Yes, it is. That is exactly correct. It has been a formulaic process down to the match timing his entire career. Yes, that's boring. Superman. Every time a new supervillain pops up, all of a sudden Superman just happens to have this superpower that he's had in his back pocket that he's never done before, but now he's got it. John Cena's entire career has been an ex machina career where it's just anytime a problem happens, he just happens to have the superpower answered in his back, in the back of his jorts, ready to go. It is not that I just like heels. It is that I like characters who have a depth and be a point. John Cena's correct. Kevin Owens is correct. Drew McIntyre is correct.
I also want to say,
Naomi is correct.
I don't think you've ever watched the Justice League series, ever.
I
because if you had, and I'm rewatching with my granddaughter, and she's watching for the first time, Superman gets his butt kicked almost every single episode.
The point, it's an overarching point. I don't need to go into the depths of every episode of every Superman thing that's ever been made. In the grand scope of 100 years of Superman, it's always been that way. Same with John Cena. There were some legendary pay-per-view events with John Cena.
I believe amalgamizing everything that ever happened
to
Superman.
Correct, because if something
down,
happens 90% of the time, that's the
John Cena. All I want to say is none of you have the right to like John Cena now. You don't have the right. Turn off the product when he's on. You don't have the right to like him now because suddenly he's a bad guy. Bunch of hypocrites. Yeah, I learned from the best. Bunch of hypocrites out there. You cannot like Cena anymore. You can't. You can't suddenly like Cena.
I can
now
because
no, you
for
can't.
20
you
years
you can't. No talk.
Cena facts. Was dumb and bad with the character for me, a grown adult. It didn't connect with me. Just like as Joe pointed out, Hogan in the 80s didn't like him either as a face. Then he goes to the NWO, and you're like, oh, he's kind of got a point. He's kind of right. I am at a point in my life where I can acknowledge and admit that sometimes the bad guy's right.
When people turn bad guys, then you like
them.
Are there
no.
any good guys
when
you like?
When they have depth and
a point. Name me a good guy you like.
Jey Uso.
Even after the botch, you like
him. Yeah, I mean, it's bad matches right now, but I like Jey Uso. Daniel, I was never a bigger fan as an adult than the Daniel Bryan Yes movement. You know, I was all
in. It's so unsettling because there's a slight delay, so when you do that, then it does it on the screen. It's so weird. It's like watching The Wave.
I like characters.
Which you're probably not a fan of that either.
I hate The Wave. With depth and a point. And it just so happens that over the years, specifically recently, because
weird.
It's emphasizing that I have depth and a point.
Well, thank you for not using the middle finger.
Depth and a point. John Cena, the heel, has depth of character. My man looked one 12-year-old child in the face and said, that kid sucks. That's awesome. And he's right. We have been crapping on this guy for 20 years. And now he's going, bleep you guys, it's about me now. And as somebody who has been crapped on for a long time and eventually had to go into business for himself and it put me where I am now, I get it.
All right. Before we go to break.
Oh, we're going long.
Okay. I was going to say, let's talk about something that you and I do agree on. Stephanie Vaquer is double champ. And she's amazing, by the way. But I am curious about what you think. Yeah, the horns are sweet. They really are. And of course, you would like that. What happened to Julia? I mean, she was the big deal. She came in, and then suddenly she loses to her. Is she moving up? What's going on with suddenly Stephanie is the big thing? And I get it. They both came in with equal fanfare. They're both really big on elsewhere. And Julia wins the championship first, and then now Stephanie has all the gold. What happened to Julia?
Sometimes wrestling, like everything in life, is simple. We've had this conversation with every sport in America. Why, oh, why does anything happen? And the answer is very simply because it makes the money. And when Stephanie Vaquer started taking off and doing her move that made Booker T need a change of pants once per show, the crowd just jumped on board. Love book. All right. The crowd jumped on board, and the answer is Stephanie Vaquer is not just a wildly talented athlete, but she's also a friggin' Latina smoke show on top of it. And at the end of the day, sometimes it's real simple. The super hot chick who's also really good at her job just catches on. You're growing increasingly frustrated with the overwhelming power of one Rhea Ripley. There's one reason Rhea Ripley is still Rhea Ripley, and it's because she comes on screen and me and the boys fire up the group thread about her every time.
I would say probably the majority of the NXT roster is better wrestlers and prettier than Rhea Ripley.
You guys, it doesn't matter.
You guys are a little weird with your fascination with her. I don't entirely get it. And when she's not in the ring, she don't dress like that. She don't act like that.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It's all
a facade to
hot is subjective. You don't find her
attractive. Wade Barrett says, no, I don't.
I wasn't asking you a question. I was making a statement.
She's fake.
You don't find her attractive.
Liv Morgan's prettier than her.
That is
Bianca
Belair is
prettier than her.
That is your opinion.
And both of them better wrestlers than
that
her.
That is your opinion. But you are one dude. And I am telling you, when mommy comes out on the stage, I have literally, with my own eyes in the building, watched arenas full of people
apparently
pop
you
for
want
her.
To be dominated. I mean, whatever you're into, man.
Joey B, you want to help me out on this one? Because I promise you, Daddy's not alone.
You want someone in leather to make you call her mommy.
Pal, do you understand that like 90% of my attraction to my wife is the fact that she will look me in the face and go, here's what we're doing today?
All right, let's
I go, hell yeah, mama.
Let's move on to something related to that, and that would be torture. John Moxley, they got to stop, okay? The blood and stuff should be used as a surprise, as a shock. He got spikes stuck in his back last night by Cope. Well, he landed on it. He didn't even hit him with it. He landed on it. It got impaled so bad that they had to bring people in to get it unstuck from his back. That's too far. Okay? Everyone who's into it, can you at least say, hey, maybe don't do that again? Maybe don't do that again.
Here's the recipe.
So you picked up a bat. It reminded me of when Negan beat up Glenn.
Hit Abraham so hard, or Glenn so hard his eyes popped out. Yeah. That was one of the wildest
things
I've ever
seen. You
know
what happened? A lot of people stopped watching Walking Dead after that. I was one of those.
So here's the storm, because you have a couple of things that come up with that. Number one, AEW is struggling in the storytelling department right now, and it is starting to become more and more apparent, to the point that it's the predominant talking point. Number two, the rush that we all felt when Edge moved over and became Adam Copeland has gone away, because Cope just doesn't work. And number three, as much as I hate to say it, because one of the few things you and I disagree on is that John Moxley's awesome, and we love Mox. But here's the deal. The story that Mox has been in for 2 years now stinks. Once the BCC broke up, it stinks. And so it got to a point where they went from having one of the hottest guys on tour in John Moxley to one of the most boring things in the game with John Moxley. Sometimes you just got to have a shock moment. The problem is, if you don't take that shock moment and make it if it's just a moment of dude got impaled for the sake of getting impaled, great. We saw one weird 5-second move that we're going to talk about for a long time, but it doesn't do anything to make me follow it.
Okay. And those of you coming at me, Moxley is still my favorite wrestler today. He still is, but he's a better wrestler than what he's doing.
Here's the other problem. He's in there against Cope. Adam Copeland, Edge, who we all know and love, and is also closer to 60 than 40. He can't go like that anymore. So you have to do a big spot to make that match compelling, because otherwise it's an old Cope taking on a Mox who clearly has to pull back so he doesn't outshine a legend. And so it ends up where it's like, well, we got to do something big and ridiculous and over the top, and that's what they came up with.
So what you're saying is the guy who's talking about how wrestling needs to change is wrestling an old guy when he could be wrestling the best wrestler in the world today.
John Moxley.
Who's on that roster.
So I don't even mind the hypocrisy of John Moxley's character, because that's kind of part of the depth of the heel. It's just that he surrounded himself with, outside of Cesaro, a bunch of guys who just aren't that good, and they ran with a story that just wasn't that good for too long, and it ended with a 50-whatever-year-old wrestler who just ain't the same guy anymore. I'll tell you the thing, just give me back Dean Ambrose, because the Mountie always gets his man. Wrestling, it's the best. Back after this for the final segment of the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. All right, let us sprint down the Midwestern side of the bracket in the NCAA March Madness tournament. I am taking Houston over SIUE. I'm taking in a 8-9 upset the Georgia Bulldogs over Gonzaga. This team has got that dog in them, and even though it is a Bulldog v. Bulldog matchup in round number one, this Georgia team is the same team that beat Florida, that beat Auburn down the stretch. It's a good team. I'm taking Georgia to the 9 seed over the 8 seed Gonzaga. I love you, Joe. Heart hands emoji. I am taking the 12-5 upset of McNeese over Clemson. This is, I've told you everything I need to tell you about this game. If you missed it, we talked extensively about it back in the first hour of the show. Will Wade wants an exclamation point as he leaves McNeese to go to NC State University. Give me the 12-5 upset of McNeese over Clemson. Number four, Purdue over High Point. The ILL of one Bradley Evans over Xavier, who got in via the play-in ticket last night. I'll take Kentucky over Troy, despite the fact that I love me a Waffle House recruiting trip. Give me UCLA over Utah State. Mick Cronin ain't no joke. And while I will be adorned tonight at 6:50 p.m. in the black and gold of the Wofford Terriers, I'm pulling for you, Terriers. Unfortunately, because I got to beat Diesel and Cole in the bracket, I'll take the Volunteers to win the 2:15 matchup there.
All right, so until today, I had Clemson losing to McNeese State, but Will Wade, his loyalties are with Clemson. He's playing against Clemson. He doesn't need to be in sports anymore because he changes everything around to watch his team play. So I'm going with Clemson to win that. And the other thing that we disagree with is I have Gonzaga over Georgia. So the majority of our disagreements are 8-9 matchups, which could go either way.
Yeah, which are not as big of a deal as some of the other spots. I don't know, man. When I met my wife in 2020, we started dating towards the end of that summer. And when we were talking, as the kids say, I let her into little aspects, little tweaks, little things about my life that I have learned as I did not get married until I was almost 40 years old, that you should put on the front burner, not the back. And one of those is, listen, if this ever goes long term and gets serious, I need you to know that when the NFL season starts up, if the Saints are on TV, I'm not doing anything else. I'm not going antiquing. I'm not going shopping. I'm not cleaning. I'm not going to brunch. I'm not going to lunch. I'm not going to dinner. If they're on the Monday night broadcast, don't make plans. If they're on Thursday night, don't make plans. If they're on Sunday midday, afternoon, or evenings, I'm busy. Don't make plans. Y'all, I mean it when I tell you. I'm not trying to be sappy and cliche. She's not listening. I can't score brownie points anyway. My wife's the most important person in my life, and I will do anything that she wants to do. I have missed bigger sporting events because she said, I need you to do this thing with me. Or, hell, I want you to do this thing with me. And I go, you know what, sweetie? That's fine. I can record the hockey game or the golf tournament or the whatever, and I'll do this thing with you because you're the most important thing in the world to me. That loyalty to now my number one team comes first, even over that. And she knows that. Just because my guy loves Clemson, a place that gave him his start to be here, doesn't mean he doesn't want to go beat their ass and go win a tournament game and make it to the Sweet 16.
I think it absolutely means that because he's not going to be there. He's going elsewhere. That's twice now. Please stop.
That one doesn't count. That broke the laws of physics. That was supposed to bounce back to me.
Did it? Yeah. I'm not the high dub baseball. And I'm not going antiquing. I might actually pull that. That was weird. All right,
I like antiquing.
I'm not going antiquing.
I like antiquing. Antiquing's fun. I'll go antiquing most days, just not when the Saints are on.
Okay. The first thing that's Xing is Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes is Xing because the new season of Quarterback 2 got announced that dropped the hype video and he wasn't invited to the Cool Kids Club.
No, he is Xing because his workout video out. Of how hard he's getting ready. It looks like he might, not only did he get a haircut, he might be getting rid of the dad bod. Oh, you're making a look on your face?
I mean,
you can't do the workout he's doing.
No, of course I can't, Lonzo. I'm also not a 26-year-old NFL player. Listen,
I'm not sure of his age, but I'll just say that.
I don't care. There are two things in the world in sports that I just am never going to get behind. Athlete workout videos and recruiting ceremonies. I don't care.
Okay, Rob, you've been mostly negative this entire day. But this next thing that I say will, of course, make you happy. Happy first day of spring, Rob.
Is that today?
It is today.
Is it solstice time?
It's happy first day of spring day, Rob.
It's supposed to be rainy this afternoon. I'm going outside to watch basketball with my friends and my dog, and now I'm being told it's going to rain today. I know that April showers
I think there's
bring
a
May flowers.
30% chance that it's not April.
Yeah, but it's at 3:10 when the Tigers tip off.
Okay, well, they're going to win, so it doesn't really matter. All right, the next thing that's Xing is Sting.
It's Sting! I cannot do the friend of the show, Tony Schiavone.
Yeah, I'm not even going to try.
But Sting is Xing because it was, who's Hall of Fame induction?
Lex Luger.
Lex Luger has been picked to go into the Hall of Fame, and apparently he said yesterday that he told Triple H that if he got anybody to induct him of his choice, he would want Sting, who is obviously on a Legends contract now with AEW, to do the induction. And apparently Hunter reached out to AEW and be like, yo, can we borrow Sting for a night to induct Lex Luger into the Hall of Fame? And I'm going to say this right now. Tony Khan, if you want your company to survive, say yes.
He's going to say yes. That's not the reason why he's Xing, though. Today is his birthday.
Ah, 63?
66.
66. Good bless. And at least he stopped jumping off of stuff.
Yes. As far as we know.
As far as we know.
All right. But he will be at South Carolina Comic Con coming up April 6th. He will only be here on the 6th, which is on a Sunday. Check out sccomiccon.com for a ticket info, and you can meet Sting and get an autograph and all that kind of fun stuff.
Shout out, Rob Young.
It will be one of the last times that he's actually in public in makeup. And finally, the last thing.
It's face paint.
Sorry. And finally, the last thing, I told you he's being negative. The last thing that's Xing is John Jones.
That's not what we talked about. That's not what we talked about.
I don't know what you're talking about because
they found some big ass chambers under the pyramids of Giza Cairo.
Yeah, that requires whole segments. That's not this.
Apparently, they found like six gigantic cylindrical rooms and then like one room that is apparently supposed to be 2 kilometers long, and nobody knows what it is, if they're even real. So if you need me today, I will be watching basketball out of one eye and researching gigantic-ass chambers under the pyramids of Giza in the other.
All right. John Jones is – I'm looking into that, too. That's amazing. It's the aliens. John Jones is Xing because he says he needs 6 months to prepare for Aspinall.
Cool. Call me when it happens.
Happy spring, Rob.
That's it for us. Happy spring, everybody. Enjoy your rest of your day. Do not drink and drive. I will punch you in the face. We'll see you back here tomorrow to do it all over again, but better on the Friday edition of the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.